We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
You're listening to the Dan and Parks Podcast.
The sprinkles of light rain and showers moving off to the east. Gradual clearing later on tonight. Patchy fog by tomorrow morning. Temperatures back to the 50s by midnight, 51 in the morning. We'll go for mostly sunny skies developing by mid-morning, early afternoon. High temperature 74 degrees and about the same on Friday without the clouds in the morning. High temperature then 74 also. From Channel 9, I'm First Alert Chief Meteorologist Brian Busby, KMBZ Weather.
68 degrees downtown, 65 in Lee's Summit. It is 67 at your severe weather station. I'm Will Starrett. Stay connected with News 98.1 KMBZ and KMBZ.com.
All right, we are live streaming on Facebook right now at the KMBZ Facebook page. We have the newly sworn-in police chief of Kansas City, Missouri, Rick Smith, joining us in studio. We will certainly talk about race relations in just a moment. But and by the way, the chief is willing to take calls, 576-7798. One came in just a moment ago. How does the chief feel about legalizing drugs, or at least cannabis, to free up resources and focus more on violent crime?
I don't know how much that's going to free up, really. I don't know that. I think people are under the impression that you legalize it and it's going to be totally different. I'm not so sure that's the case. I don't really have opinion one way. You know, like the medical marijuana, I have zero problem with that. You know, I worry the road we're down as a society when you keep introducing things that really... So when people first got to America, you know, I think they had a drive and a vision, and they wanted to go to make things better, right? We introduce things like marijuana and other things. Does that really help our drive as a country to be better? That really, overall, that's what I think about is, are these things helping society overall?
We hear a lot about the opioid epidemic in America. Ohio has a very big problem. Do we have one here in Kansas City?
We monitor it very closely. Have we had some deaths? Yes. Do we have the problem Ohio does? No. Are we worried that it's going to head this way? Of course we are. We pay very close attention to that.
For the chief of police, this is from the text line. What are your plans to deal with racial tension between cops and citizens, especially African-American citizens?
You know, I get that question all the time. And I will tell you, in Kansas City, we have problems. I'm not saying everything is perfect in Kansas City. But I will tell you, when I was, and I've told this story publicly at all my community meetings, when I was the division commander at East Patrol, here I am in the middle of what is the busiest crime-ridden zone in Kansas City as far as a police district. And when the Ferguson decision came out, the CIO officer, Jason Cooley, walks up to me and goes, "You wouldn't believe it, boss." And I go, "What do you mean? I won't believe it." He goes, "I've had about a dozen calls from community leaders saying there's going to be no trouble in our neighborhood. And if there is, we're calling you. We'll tell you who it is and who's stirring it. You just get here and take care of it." I think the relationships in this city are much better than portrayed. I think the relationships that we have in the city are strong with the community. Now, I'm not taking there's always room for improvement, and there is. But I don't think we're at the same place that other cities are in America.
What do you think when you watch what happened, for example, a week ago in St. Louis, a couple months ago in Baltimore? And what does this city do to ensure that, God forbid, something like that happens here, that business and, more importantly, the people are protected?
Yeah, we do things a little bit different here. When we know things are going to happen, a group's going to get together, the first thing we do as a police department is we reach out to the organizer. We say, "Hey, I'm Rick Smith from the Kansas City, Missouri Police Department. We want to make sure you have a safe, peaceful event. Here, let's work together to make sure this goes correctly." That doesn't happen in some cities. even in 2017, it happens at every single one in Kansas City.
So being more proactive than reactive.
Well, I think, Dana, it's about building that relationship. We want to say to you, hey, we want you to express your First Amendment rights. We will help you do it. We will help facilitate that as long as we can keep it peaceful and keep it lawful. So if you want to place an area, we will help you. We will say, hey, there's been others here. There's been a protest here. Here's what demonstration here. What would you like to do? What can we do to make it safe? I mean, now, as you know, within the day and age, what's happened across the country, we have a big protection thing just for a demonstration getting together. We worry about outside influences on that demonstration also. So, we have a big, a lot of safety issues to cover with one demonstration, and we work on all of them.
Sure. From the text line quickly, I'm a single mom living in Ruskin Heights. I hear gunfire almost nightly. What is being done about that situation, and what can I do to help?
Yeah, well, we know that there's a huge issue in Ruskin. We just went over a map last week or earlier this week about violent crime in that area. We know we have gunfire. It's amazing how much gunfire we have. I read at a scene the other day that where there was gunfire, there was over 70 shell casings collected at one scene. So we know we have a gun issue in this town, and that's what I'm talking about, the culture. That's what I'm talking about has to change. We have to make this not acceptable. And I think, it takes more than just the police department to make that happen. We can send the message, but I think it's going to take way more than us to make sure that message is heard by everybody.
Let's go to Leroy in Kansas City. Leroy, hello, welcome.
Hey, guys.
Hi.
How's it going?
Good.
It's going well, man. Thank you for asking.
I have two questions for the new chief.
Okay, go ahead.
First off, boxers or briefs, and are you a chief with them or like Andy from Mayberry kind of?
Okay, we'll skip the boxers or briefs. Maybe he goes commando. We don't know. He may go commando. Could
wow.
I be wearing any more clothes?
Oh, wow. I thought of a lot of questions. That was not one of them on the list. I'm truly caught off guard.
And I didn't catch the first name, but he said, are you, what's his face from Mayberry?
Yeah. Well, who is the first one?
I don't know,
Chief Wiggum from The Simpsons.
Okay.
Let me ask you this. What is your leadership style? Like, what, when you first came out and said, okay, I'm your new leader, the bar is set here, the buck stops with me, what is your kind of overall style with those serving underneath you?
I like to be inclusive. I like to ask people, and not of certain ranks, of all ranks. I like to get ideas. I like to evaluate them, move forward what we think is best, no matter who it comes from, where in the organization. I like to set the model. I like to model good behavior. I like to model the work ethic. I like people to do the same in executive positions. When I went through the interview process, I was told that I can be very hard-headed on some things, and that is I like good work. I expect the taxpayers want a fair day's work for a fair day's wage in the police work, and I want everyone to do that. So given that, those parameters, as long as we stay in those, I'm pretty good. I let people do what they need to do and what they need to get done.
Let's grab one more before we get to traffic and weather in just a minute. Dean in Johnson County. Hello, Dean.
Hello. I'd like to congratulate the chief, police, Kansas City, Missouri. And I've got an idea for you. And I feel real strongly about this, that why not give these things a try? And if it works, it works. If it doesn't, we go back to, box A, I would call it. But why not set up zones, patrol zones, and rotate your officers in these zones, where the heaviest crime areas are, and just rotate them in and out, of these zones and set up patrol. And also, why don't we see about getting some retired people that want to volunteer that have the training, and expertise under their belts to set up teams also as well to add to the what you already have for patrols.
All right,
see if we can't get something done like that, maybe.
All right, Dean, let's take these one at a time. His idea about zones patrolling heavier crime areas.
I think we're already doing that. I mentioned we're moving traffic and some tactical officers in some zones we've identified with the highest amount of violent crime. And like I said, we don't have the exact stats yet. We're looking to see where the productivity is there and if we're getting, a lot of a reduction of crime for our efforts.
And his idea, bringing in retired police officers to do some patrols.
Wouldn't
that be a legal issue?
Yeah, we got training issues, post-certification issues, all kinds of stuff. That probably would not work. I mean, you could probably take a recent retiree, but on the Kansas City, Missouri Police Department, we have many retirees that retire and become reserves. So we have a max age of 65, can't be an officer after 65 years in age, and anything between 60 and 65, you have to have a medical waiver. Doctor has to prove your continued employment. So there are some things that prohibit that.
Really quick, a lot of people are saying, why is there no gang unit in Kansas City? Is that accurate? I thought we had one.
Our detectives work on group violence. We have a gang unit. We call it that, but it's actually group violence. I think gangs in Kansas City, people have this TV image of what a gang
right.
is, and it's not always the case. It might be four kids that grew up in the neighborhood, and they're now the gang. They may not even have a name. Frequently, when we have groups of individuals involved in crime, we name them ourselves. We give them a nickname because they don't have one.
Is that true?
Yeah. We'll say, hey, this is the Bail Street gang because that's where they're all from or whatever.
Okay.
In order for us to talk about it,
would you say
what
we
I'm
have
saying?
A huge organized gang problem here?
We have group issues. Yeah, we do. Not do we have a Crips blood
right.
kind of like that? That people like seeing in the movies or something. We're not kind of at that extreme. Yeah.
All right, Chief Rick Smith joining us in the studio. When we get back, great question from the text line. What does the chief think about privatizing Westport? We'll get to that in just a moment here on Dana and Parks.
Rod Babcock here. I hope you're enjoying this Dana and Parks podcast. While you're listening to it, keep in mind this is a podcast. Please don't call me, okay? Don't call the station. I know he's giving out the number, but I'm not there, and I don't care.
You know, living here in Kansas City, we all know that every home needs a pest control service. Most of us have one. But if you're still seeing those pesky ants and spiders and roaches, make sure you give Moxie Pest Control a call. They simply do more to rid your home of those pests. They use safe, green, effective methods to solve the issues that we all face here in Kansas City. There's no shame in that. By the way, call right now. Mention Dana and Parks or KMBZ. They'll give you $100 off your initial service. If you don't have a company yet, what are you waiting for? Moxie Pest Control wants to earn your business. They are Kansas City's pest company that you can trust. No fancy catchphrase. They just promise you dead pests. Find them online at killbugsfast.com. That's killbugsfast.com. Moxie Pest Control, I trust them, and you should too.
Today I don't feel like doing anything. I just wanna lay in my bed. Don't feel like picking up my phone, so leave a message at the tone. Cause today I swear I'm not doing anything. I'm gonna kick my feet up then.
He is the new police chief in Kansas City, Missouri, replacing the retired Chief Daryl Forte. Chief Rick Smith joining us in studio. Something that came in right before we went to the break, Chief. How do you feel about the privatization of the Westport Entertainment District?
Well, I think it's to no one's surprise we have an issue in Westport. We've had an issue. My take on this, why wouldn't we try it? It's a piece of paper. It's not like we're building a new building or pouring cement or doing. It's a piece of paper that's basically a contract that gives a privatization. And there's a provision in there that if it doesn't go well, they can tear it up. So my point is, anything that we can try to enhance public safety, why wouldn't we give that a try?
Why have the problems in Westport flared back up, if I can say that? It was my impression, and maybe I'm just too old and don't go to Westport anymore. I'm not 20 anymore. That we had a problem probably 10, 15 years ago. It subsided, and now it's over the last few years has reared its head again.
I don't have an answer, Scott. I wish I did. But we know because we're tracking it. As you report the news, you know. So, I mean, we're on top of the issue. We're working on it. Every weekend we have resources down there to try and prevent the violence. Like, when I became chief, I said, I don't want us responding to us. I wanted to try and prevent it. It's very hard to do down there.
And I've always said, and this is a conversation probably for the business owners, but why wouldn't they want the streets shut down, blocked off, private? Why wouldn't they want to try these different things? If I was a business owner down there, I would be doing everything in my power to try, because perception, as you know, is reality. And there is a perception right now that there's a problem down there.
Oh, yes. I agree.
From the text line, is it possible to use technology Or is there any plan to put up things like gunshot sensors to triangulate where the gunshots are happening in some of these neighborhoods?
I thought you guys already had that technology.
We do. We have it. We have it, and we've never, we don't publicly disclose where it is, but we have it, and it's, it, you know, we'd like it to be a larger area. Actually, we've started using some of that technology. We're actually tying it to some of our other technology. I don't want to get too much into it, but we're working a program right now, another initiative, to see if that can bring a reduction in violent crime. So we are trying things all the time. We are using that technology.
The thing with the gunshot sensors, though, to me, is that's, again, it's reactive. I mean,
it's a reporting system.
It's a reporting system that this is happening. And you know that there's a problem, say, in Ruskin. I don't know to what extent the technology helps you guys unless you have somebody right by there when the alarm goes off that somebody's shooting.
And we've had that. We've had it right there. I was right on top of one when it went off at 45th and Garfield one time. My car wasn't a block away, and I saw the guy lean over the car shooting a gun. And then the radio beeped not 30 seconds later, you know, shot spotter detection device.
You're like, yeah, I know. Well,
yeah, I was like, yeah, I was already trying to catch up to the car.
Thanks,
was,
triangulator.
As it was fleeing down the street, and all I could see was taillights. But, yes, I think there's room for that. So I think the piece with technology is always the first phase doesn't always solve the problem, but sometimes it's the foundation, and we build on that, and it gets better and better. And so I think that's what we're going to see with some of this. It may serve as a great base, but as we tie other pieces of technology with it, it's going to get better and better.
Do you have cameras on public streets?
Yes.
Care to tell me where?
We have met various.
Are they
locations.
Downtown? Are they in some of the rougher neighborhoods? Are they on the plaza?
We have both. So what we have is we have some cameras in the police department, and then we have access, or people grant us access to their cameras because they want us, if there's a problem, they want us to be able to be responsive and catch criminals if it happens on their property. So, yeah, we have them. And so a great example of a good use of cameras is the Royals Parade, right? We could focus in on potential issues within the crowd before they occurred.
Right.
We saw things unfolding or people like squaring off, and we were like, get two officers over there. And, you know, we had a great day with
no
arrests. Right. So cameras were a big part of that.
Really quick. Can the chief address our 911 system and the lack of operators? We have people waiting too long.
I agree. And we're working. We have worked on part-time employees, contract employees. We are doing a bunch of things we have never done before. And we are working on, you know, as you saw in my last blog post, if anyone read it, I don't know how many people read it, but if anybody read it, it was about communications, and please join the police department. We need dedicated communications.
Okay, so someone wrote in and said, my son wants to be a police officer. What do you say to the younger people thinking about this? I would expand that. There are so many jobs within the police department that aren't necessarily police officers.
Sure.
You need civilians. You need all
Look
kinds
at the
of those employees.
Scientists in the lab.
Yes,
we
in
have
the crime
all
lab.
Right, DNA, crime scene techs, all kinds of people. Yeah.
Can you stay for a minute, or do you got to run?
No, I was going to jog after this.
I didn't know if there was crime to stop or anything. One thing I do want to ask you about, and we'll get to this after we do the bottom of the hour news, I had a conversation not too long ago with a local police chief who said, we cannot find quality candidates to be police officers anymore. They're even considering doing an ad campaign to get people to apply for the police department. They can't pass the drug tests. There obviously are some concerns with police and community relations in some cities. And one that I found, one reason why he thought this was really tough, he said the young people today do not know how to communicate one-on-one.
Yeah, it's true. That's a huge obstacle. And back to Dana's point about legalizing marijuana. Where does this fall in when you hire a police candidate?
Right.
You know, do you say, hey, stop smoking today? You know, where do you draw the line?
All right, we'll get with the chief here in just a moment, Chief Rick Smith from the Kansas City, Missouri Police Department, but first to the newsroom, and we'll start.
Charges follow a midweek shooting. More next.
So I thought every commercial.
Fall is here. Look around the yard. Already you see the leaves falling, but where are they falling? Of course, they're falling in the yard, but they're also falling into your gutter. Do you want to spend the fall, your weekends, away from your family, up on a ladder, digging out all those leaves? The answer, of course, is no. So call K-Guard today. Let them take care of it. Let them guarantee that you can get rid of that ladder and never spend another Saturday afternoon on it. K-Guard doesn't mount underneath your roof shingles. They are custom-made, and K-Guard handles 40% more water than the leading competition. Call now. Get 80% off installation and, of course, 0% interest with no payments for 18 months. Here's our number, 913-489-8965. Get your leaf-free gutter system today from a family you know you can trust. Check them out online at kguardheartland.com. That's kguardheartland.com.
4:30 in Kansas City. I'm Will Starrett. Second-degree murder is just one of the charges filed against a teenager from Independence. 17-year-old Antonio Stocker III is also charged with first-degree assault and two counts of armed criminal action. This follows yesterday's shooting. It left one person dead. Stocker allegedly told police he shot the victim when he was unarmed and then tossed the gun into a creek bed. A House committee launches a wide-ranging examination of air travel by high-ranking Trump officials following reports that Health and Human Services Secretary Tom Price used pricey charters when cheaper commercial flights were available. Word of the probe came as President Trump said he's, quote, not happy with Price. Asked whether he's planning to fire Price, Trump responded, quote, we'll see. Traffic and weather together next. KMBZ News Time, 431.
Shopping for appliances can be very overwhelming. So many brands and options to choose from. Let me tell you, luckily, there's only one brand you really need to know, and that's Nebraska Furniture Mart. Dana Wright here. NFM is the leader in appliances. They have more than 700 of them on display, thousands more online, everything from the basics to the best. We just got our washer and dryer there. All at legendary low prices. Right now, save 10 up to 45% off suggested retail on select major appliances. Spend as little as $199. Take advantage of financing. Even get 30 months financing on purchases $999 or more. Shop refrigerators, washers, dryers, Rangers, dishwashers, blenders, and more. All in one place. NFM makes it so easy to compare. My favorite part, they shop the competition and update their digital price tags daily so you get the low price. See the store for details. For appliances, it's Nebraska Furniture Mart every time.
Partly cloudy skies this evening, temperatures in the 60s, down to 58 by midnight, stopping at 51 in the morning, a fog patch or two. Should not slow you down too much. Skies becoming mostly sunny all across the board, high temperature 74 degrees, sunshine on Friday, 74 as well. Next threat of rain moves in with a 30% shot coming in on Monday. It could impact Monday night football either before, during, or after the game. Still, timing is up in the air. From Channel 9, I'm First Alert Chief Meteorologist Brian Busby, KMBZ Weather.
69 downtown, 66 in Overland Park. It is 67 at your severe weather station. I'm Will Starrett. Stay connected with News 98.1 KMBZ and KMBZ.com.
Baby, do you understand me now? Sometimes I feel a little mad, but don't you know that no one alive can always be an angel? When things go wrong, I seem to be bad. I'm just a soul whose intentions are good. Oh Lord, please don't let me be misunderstood.
Chief Rick Smith joining us in studio. The new police chief for Kansas City, Missouri, just sworn in recently. Dana hinted at this
next question.
Yeah, we're
getting a lot of these. Chief Smith, will your department ever lift the residency requirement so people outside the department can apply and stay in their homes? I have a slew of those. Somebody said, I won't apply because of the residency requirement.
Right, and that's not my decision. That's the Board of Police Commissioners' decision. So,
What if they asked you for a recommendation? What would you say?
I go back and forth on this. There's some good things about residency. I think the people in Kansas City probably like that the officers live in the city that they're policing. I think that's a huge thing. Do I think politically and other things like the FOP and labor part, is it better if officers live in the city? Yeah, I do. I think it gives them a stronger voice. So there's some things about that now. Are people happy if they can go to Smithville schools or, you know, buy acreage because they've grown up on a farm and that's what they want to do or raise their kids that way? I see that point, too. Do I think it will change? I don't think it will change.
You don't think it'll change. Yeah. I wonder someday if we can envision a scenario where there's a percentage based, where you can say, and then you, then of course you're in a position to have to choose who gets to live and who doesn't, but maybe you say 80% of our officers live right here in the city where they serve. We will give waivers on a first come, first serve basis kind of thing. I don't know.
But I understand, and Nick, you hang tight because you've been super patient. We're going to get to you before we go to the next break, I promise. But I understand the argument. You want the people who police the city to live in the city so that people see them. They get to know them. They're your neighbors. But what has ended up happening, and you know this, I'm sure, and I know this for a fact, is that a lot of police officers in Kansas City end up moving into a neighborhood in far northeast Kansas City in the Northland so that their kids can go to the Liberty School District. If the idea was, well, let's get them inside the city and...
By downtown or by midtown.
I would bet there you maybe have one, two, three, four cops that actually live south of the river in some of these rougher neighborhoods.
Well, you make a good point, Scott, but I will tell you that with everything is... in housing and everything is kind of gets trendy, right? We now have officers moving downtown. A lot of them. They want to live in apartment. They want to be part of the urban experience. They get an apartment or a condo downtown, and they're very happy there and spend, you know, years living downtown. Whereas before, you know, 10 years ago, that wasn't an option.
Yeah.
So I think things cycle. I think there's a big cycle up north. I think things could come back. I think people are drawn back to urban cores, not just in Kansas City, but across the nation. So I think these things cycle. We'll just see what happens.
Nick in Kansas City, you're on with Dana Parks and Chief Rick Smith. Hello.
Hi, Nick. Go ahead.
I just want to say, first of all, congratulations. And I'm a huge supporter, and I have a tremendous amount of respect for what you guys do.
Thank you.
But my question is, criminals are going to do what they want to do, regardless of what policies or laws are put into effect. So, is there really anything that you think that could be done to really stop them, or what is your plan? Yeah.
So, the question I think is, can you proactively stop violent crime?
Well, here's what I've said through my career. I think police can influence crime. I don't think they can control it. Let's say, for example, there's a bunch of stealings in Westport, and I put four officers on foot in front of those stores in Westport. I bet you we could at least slow down the number of occurrences. Maybe someone would be bold enough to still give it a try, but I bet you the number of occurrences would go down. So we may not stop it, but I think we definitely would influence. I think that's what we're trying to do. I don't think there's a person that could be hired as police chief and come in here and say, next year we're going to have zero homicides.
Right.
I don't think that's going to happen. But I think what you want to do as a police chief and say, hey, 111 homicides as we stand today is disheartening, and it's too many, and what can we do to reduce those numbers?
And here's my question. When you look back at the years where the crime rate was lower, can anyone actually say with any certainty why it was lower that year anyway? I've never understood, and this gets into data and kind of into the weeds of policing a little bit, even when there's a good year, can you really look at something that the police department did and say this is why, or are there just fewer boneheads out there shooting each other that year?
Right. You're right. I don't know what the answer is. And we've done huge projects to go back and look at that and what happened this year. What investigations did we do? Big takedowns of criminal organizations? Did we have better laws on the books? What was it that made a difference? And we haven't found that solid answer yet.
Is it true the hotter the summer, the higher the crime rate?
I think we have, I think there's some truth that you're out longer. There's more people outside, more people getting together. So, yeah, there is that. But, December is usually, I hate to say it, one of our more violent months.
Does the mafia exist in Kansas City?
So back to this gang versus group thing. Do
right.
I think there's a group? Sure, I think there is. Has it changed?
Mafia in the classic sense that we think about when we see certain movies?
I don't know about that. I don't know that you would say it's exactly the same. No, I wouldn't say that. I think, everything evolves. I think that probably the criminal enterprise and the structure that it was has probably evolved also.
Rod, you have
I think, well, when you say mafia, I think organized crime is a thing, but I don't know that.
Like Goodfellas, guys meeting at a club and.
the familia and all that stuff still exists, but I assume organized crime
not the what am I, a clown?
Yeah, yeah.
But look at it, a cartel. It's an organized criminal group.
Sure.
It's no different.
Sure. Trying to think if there's anything else we haven't hit on here today. Somebody asked earlier, do you still have a DARE program? Do you still have officers in the schools?
Yes.
You do?
Good. Yes, we do.
Is a get out of jail free card a real thing? And if so, where can I get one?
If I am allowed to shake your hand, I will put it in the palm of my hand and you grab it.
Before we have two more calls we're going to get to real quick with the chief. Superman or Batman? Be very careful.
Superman.
Okay. Mike and Lee Summit. Hello, Mike.
Yeah.
Hi, go ahead, my friend.
Yeah. First off, congratulations, Chief Smith. Been a bondsman in Kansas City area for about the last 20 years. Just a little bit of what I heard on that last caller. There's no deterrent. Class A misdemeanors, anything that's on the city level as far as breaking the laws. You guys, when I got started, you had the old MCI Leeds farm, the jail, and it housed, might be wrong on my numbers here, but I thought it housed about 500 inmates. And anymore, you go to court, if you get sentenced to 180 days on Monday, you're home by Thursday, and it's over with. And like domestic violence people, they it's bad enough they get beat up on, and then they go to court to get some kind of resolution, and the person gets sentenced to 180 days. They serve 3 days of it, and they're home. That's like a slap of them in the face. What do you plan on doing as far as your jail goes, as far as holding people the max time and making sure they stay?
It's a great question. And, you know, I share your concerns in this. As you know, Kansas City, Missouri Police Department got out of the jail business. We used to have a jail on the 8th floor, and then they would go to the city facility, which was the old farm or Leeds out there. We called it Leeds, and that's gone. So now we have a space in the Jackson County Jail where our detainees go. And, of course, was it Mike that called? As he pointed out, we're not in control of that, right? The matrixing and what's happening at the jail and how many people we hold, the police department, we don't have a dog in the fight. We just bring the people there.
Do you envision a scenario where you would be back in the jail business at all, or no?
You know, that would be a budgetary thing with the city, not a police department exclusive decision.
Are you looking at budget cuts?
I hope not. You know, the mayor always says public safety is expensive. He's right. But what do you say when you have a rising crime rate? I mean, I think the citizens are looking for some answers, and they look for the police department. And the number one thing I heard is we just don't see enough police on the streets. So I think there is some room to ask that, you know, maybe more police are needed.
So you'll be asking for a budget increase?
I don't know if it's an increase. We're going to look at ways to see what we can do. I mean, yeah, eventually it'll be an increase, but, you know, there's grant opportunities, other opportunities. We're going to do what we can.
There have been criticisms of this to police department and certainly others that it's top heavy, that it would be more beneficial to the city to have more beat officers and fewer commanders. Do you agree with that, and do you have anything that you can do about that?
Sure. I mean, there's attrition. You could let people retire and not replace their positions. But my answer to this, and the same one it was during my interview process, is – we look at the Kansas City, Missouri Police Department that has a national reputation in training, has a national reputation in professionalism and other things. We're a department that's not under consent decree. No one's ever looked at us. That comes from good leadership. That doesn't come by mistake. That comes because people are putting effort into managing the police department correctly. And that happens through good leaders, right? That you can't have so many worker bees and not enough leaders to lead that. And what I say to people, yes, you could look at us and say, hey, you can wipe this major off the map or this captain or these sergeants, but what is the result of that as far as the leadership and the professionalism of the department? And I think that's what you have to weigh.
As the chief of police, what causes you to lose sleep at night?
Officers getting hurt and killed. I mean, I sometimes go to sleep thinking, is this the night the phone will ring? I don't want that call.
Chief of Police Rick Smith, congratulations. Good to have you in.
Thank you.
Let's make this the first of many.
Okay, great. Great to be here.
Right on. All right. Dana Wright, Rod Babcock, I'm Scott Parks. It's Police Chief Rick Smith of Kansas City, Missouri on KMBZ.
Just a good old boy, never meaning no harm. Beats all you never saw, been in trouble with the law since the day they was born. Straightening the curve, yeah, flattening the hills. Someday the mountain might get them, but the law never will. Making their way the only way they know how.
Yeah.
That's just,
I'm going to be honest. Not here, so I'm not kissing his butt. I like him. I like him.
Oh, I've known him for years. I love him. I was so happy when they announced he got that job. And you know why? I do think, you know, you meet different people and you work with different people on the law and the order side as a reporter. He was always so transparent. And you want transparency at the top of an organization like that.
Well, I'll tell you this, and Rod, you've been with me for a long time.
He's a straight shooter. If you ask him something, Scott, he'll tell you.
But there is something to say for a public official who doesn't wait until the phone rings. They call you if you're in the media and they say, I want to get in front of your microphone, or I want to get in front of your camera, or I want to sit down with your editorial board, and I want to talk, and I want to tell the people this, or I want to take questions from the people that pay my salary.
Yeah, we asked him off the air, do you mind taking callers? And he said, oh, sure.
I have it written right down. I wrote, while we were doing the JFK segment, I wrote down on a piece of paper, are you willing to take calls? He looked at me and goes, yeah. Like I was crazy or stupid or something. I know I'm both, but.
He's very perceptive.
But I'll tell you this, and I know he got made fun of a lot during his time as mayor, but Mark Funkhauser, when he was the mayor, made it a monthly habit to come into this studio,
yep,
sit right there in that chair,
yep,
and he would just say, open up the phones, I want to take any call, and I do not care what they ask.
And yeah, I think that's very bold for a public official to do, like a Funkhauser or the chief of police. When you said, we're going to take calls, I thought, what?
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that was awesome, and he's a really nice guy, and he gave me a get out of jail free card.
No, he gave you his business card.
Oh, it's the same thing. It's gonna work.
You just hand it over and go, look at this.
Do you know who I know? They'll go, shut up, long hair. Get in the car.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Shut up, you long hair. No, I like him, and you know that's one thing. Chief Forte was given credit for a lot of things.
He was horrible with the media, and I liked him.
I don't think he was good with the media.
No. Mm-mm.
In fact, I don't ever remember meeting Chief Forte in person.
You know what one of the things is? Kansas City has such a great media department. I mean, second to none, and I'm not just saying that. I've always loved their media department. I've worked with, you know, they've cycled in and out over the years, all kinds of officers into those jobs, and they have always been very, very good at what they do. And so I think if you're a chief who doesn't like to deal with the media, you've got this great media department that can take the calls and the emails and kind of shield you from that.
Right.
Chief Smith is not going to be that way. I'm just telling you he's not.
You know, I want him to win. I want him to succeed. But I do recognize, and I'm sure he does as well, the huge mountain that he has in front of him. And I need look no further than this, the city of Chicago, which had more murders last year than Los Angeles and New York combined. And you and I have done the math. When you do it per capita, per citizen, we have a higher homicide rate in Kansas City than Chicago, Illinois. And that's a problem. And I'm sure the chief recognizes that. If a dum-dum from Lansing on the radio can do the math on that, I'm sure the police chief has already done the math on that. So he has to know that there is a huge violent crime mountain for him to climb in this city. The question is, if he can't get ahead of it, or if the city can't get ahead of it, does he end up paying for it with his job? And I don't know the answer to that.
I don't think so, because Kansas City has always struggled in that arena, quite frankly. When was the last time they had a homicide count below 100, Scott?
It wasn't too long ago, but it was one of those.
It was that anomaly year that we were talking about.
Well,
why?
I think there was one year a while back where it was like 79 or 80-something, and everybody's like, wow, we're not killing each other as much anymore.
But that's not because and then the next year was up at 110 that was in that front office.
No, it's not. And it's much more of a cultural thing than it is a police department thing. A police department, by definition, almost has to be reactionary. It's very hard to be proactive. However, there have been examples in the past, and I don't know if it was police department based or culturally based, where homicide rates dropped to the floor. New York City.
They did it.
Back in the 1980s, if you were in New York, you were like, oh my God. Oh my God. Who's here? Now, it's one of the safest cities in America by per capita.
Oh, you're talking about Times Square? It used to be, you know, smut capital of the world. Yeah. And now it's the family center.
Yeah.
Something that Pat down at the front desk just called me and she said, you know, of all the public officials and all the important people that have ever come in here, he's like one of the first that came in here by himself. He didn't come in.
He did
with
not have a handler.
A handler and an entourage and a, you know, someone to help you tell you what the media wants you to say.
You know who he reminds me of? And I'm not comparing the two cities. One has 450,000 people, one has 9,000. He reminds me of Ben Hadley, the chief of police here in Mission. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Super proactive, super. Let me get in front of the media. Let me talk. I mean, I've had Ben Hadley, the chief of police at Mission, call me at home and say, I was wondering if there's any way we can get it on the air that we're having a coffee and cops this weekend at Twisted Sister.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking to myself, Chief, I love you, man.
Yeah.
But there's no way we're talking about a cops and coffee at Twisted Sister on Johnson Drive.
I would tell people about their cops and coffee.
But you know what? You know what? The fact that he even bothered to call and say, we want people to come out to the cops and coffee thing we're having at Twisted Sister this weekend. And he's the police chief in a city of 9,000 in a city of 2.5 million.
Yeah.
And he's like, Scott, just reaching out. Want to know if you want to talk about cops and coffee.
Aww.
And I'm like, oh, brother.
You know, I did one of those last weekend. Did I tell you that?
In Leawood?
Leawood, Overland Park, and Prairie Village had one combined. And bought everybody's coffee at Starbucks. I didn't even know I didn't really even know. I went with my husband, walked in, had a blast. And I think, you know, they need to be doing more of those things.
Yeah.
It's fun. You got to meet a couple of them, squeeze some pics, if you know what
I mean. Let's get to the newsroom and we'll stare it.
Happening now on KMBZ. Charges follow an attack in jail. More next.
Oh, you've heard by now, Time Warner Cable Business Class is now Spectrum Business, and they are making the best business internet and voice solutions even better. For starters, they've increased their internet speeds from 60 megs up to 100 megabits per second, and they've lowered the price to just $44.99 a month when you bundle with voice for only $29.99 a month. They've also eliminated the added taxes and fees that all those other providers charge, and remember, they don't make you sign a contract ever. Give them a call, 866-750-9726. Switch to Spectrum Business today. Your business will get faster. 100 meg internet now for just $44.99 a month and advanced voice for $29.99 a month. No added taxes, no hidden fees, and no contracts. 866-750-9726. Call today.